Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Today on Edgewise, we're honored to have Edward T. Riley. He's CEO of the American Management Association, and he's editor of a really terrific new book entitled AMA Business Bootcamp. Ed, welcome to Edgewise.
Well, good afternoon.
Let's start with this question. Why did you write the book?
You know, AMA is a wonderful place. I'm fortunate to be able to work here for the last 10 years. We have such an incredible wealth of experience and knowledge in terms of developing managers for almost 90 years now that I felt it was an opportunity for us to take the best of what we do in our most important courses and summarize those things in an easy-to-read, concise fashion that people can look at and draw experience from, whether they're new managers and they haven't been exposed to this material before, or they're experienced managers and they've seen it a number of times, but still need to be reminded of the day-in, day-out, blocking and tackling material that they need to do to make their businesses successful.
And how many people visit AMA annually?
We train more than 150,000 people a year, both inside the United States and around the world, and we've been doing that for decades now. So there are literally millions of AMA alumni operating around the world and driving businesses in all remote corners of the world, making a difference for themselves, making a difference for their businesses, and making a difference for the societies and the communities that they serve.
And is that the audience for this book?
Well, it's at least that audience, and I think many, many more. As many people as we actually get a chance to interact with here at AMA, there are thousands and thousands of other managers and leaders and practitioners, both in the United States and around the world, who can benefit from this book. Of course, it's my opinion, but I think it's hard to imagine too many people who are operating on a day-in and day-out, complicated, interpersonal business environment that won't find something in this book that's interesting and certainly useful.
We've mentioned the word managers. Is this book also for supervisors, for leaders, for every position within an organization?
Well, sure. The difference between whether or not it's a manager or a supervisor has to do with the complexity of the job. But the basic skills that are involved are going to be much the same. And I think people can benefit from this at all those levels.
So this book will help business people dealing with the constant change that is part of the working world today, as well as intense competition against other companies?
Yeah. You know, you used two very important value-laden terms there. The intensity of competition and the pace of change are something that has developed in business, I think, over the last decade, decade and a half, to a point which we haven't previously experienced. The advance of globalization, the implementation of technology has made the world a much more competitive place. Competition now doesn't exist just between a limited number of advanced countries, but with people all around the world. Technology has improved the pace of change. We understand things now more rapidly than we ever did before. And so the consequence is that business has very little time for static activity and refinement. We're constantly facing change, and that adds pressure. Change is inextricably linked with risk. In order to be able to face up to change, you have to be able to face up to risk and deal in those risky environments, and that in turn creates stress. All the more reason why you need to have the blocking and tackling, the basic skills that are incorporated into this book, at your fingertips, because you haven't got time to be thinking about those on a day in and day out basis. You need to be doing them because there's so many other things you need to be dealing with at the same time.
There are really so many times when a manager can be making a mistake that can truly affect performance management, for example.
Well, of course. I mean, if you let people go on in a less than optimally efficient fashion, the department will suffer, the organization will suffer, the organization that you are responsible for at whatever level you're dealing with in an organization will not perform at the level that it needs to remain competitive.
There are an awful lot of subjects in this book. What topic stands out as far as you're concerned? What's most important to you?
You know, I think of all the things that we need to practice in our day in and day out business life, I would pick the chapter on leadership. It's a kind of a strange thing to say for the president of the American Management Association, but I think management has become an absolutely necessary but no longer sufficient skill to be able to win. People need to be able to make decisions. People that work with you, for you, around you, people that you're responsible for their performance, need to be able to make decisions at a split second's notice without necessarily all the benefits of a rule book. They need to be able to recognize circumstances that are changing and be able to react to those in a way that you want them to be able to react. And so they need to understand what the mission and the vision and the values of the organization is. They need to be committed to those standards, and they be able to make decisions on your behalf, on your organization's behalf, that lead you to the kind of successful conclusion that you want in every interaction they're involved with.
And of course, there's another topic that a lot of people are concerned about today, and that's delegation. Do you see that also as a problem? Today's leaders don't know how to delegate?
Well, delegation is one of those things that is first encountered at one of what we think is the most critical crossroads of a manager's career. At AMA, we have a number of courses that are aimed at people in a crucial point in their career when they move from being an individual contributor to, as we say in the textbook case, getting work done through others. That means delegating things to other people. You need to learn that your own capabilities, strong as they may be, have gotten you probably to the position where you got promoted, to the point where you're now going to be responsible for the work of others. And you need to really recognize that your job is to now make that happen. It's not to be the super performer of your job in that particular place, and not to make up for the weaknesses of the people on your team, but rather to be able to get those people to be able to perform at the level that is necessary to get your unit, whatever definition you want to call that, to be able to perform at its maximum level.
And that includes helping them change. Leaders have to be good at dealing with change, and they've got to be good at helping their employees deal with that change.
Well, we mentioned before, change has become the steady state environment of business. And I mean, we've always encountered change at one level or another, but I think the intensity and the pace of change is truly different in today's environment than it was even a decade ago. And my guess is it will be even more intense in the decades to come. All of these factors having to do with technology and globalization that I mentioned before are only going to continue to be more important in forming the environment in which we operate, and they will continue to cause issues for all of us to deal with on an ongoing basis.
What about strategic leadership and developing the strategic mindset? Do you think that that's also an important part?
Well, strategy is important because it is one of those enablers that allows people to be able to operate and make decisions going forward. You need to be able to build a vision, build or buy a vision. And by buy, I don't mean buy from another person, but buy into a vision. Everybody in the organization is not necessarily entitled to be able to build a vision for the organization, but you better be committed to the vision of the people who set the standards for your organization, what you're trying to do, what your mission is, how we're going to accomplish that, what the mission of my particular department is. And then what is the strategy we're going to use to try and get that done? The strategy then informs whatever day in and day out tactics that you're going to be able to use to make that happen inside your business. There's a very good chapter in here that breaks those things down. People sometimes get confused as to the relevance of each one of those statements, but in two pages in here, we'll be able to set that straight. And I think have people think clearly about why each one of those components in building a successful business plan is important.
You know, it seems that sometimes managers are confused by the difference between mission and vision. What are some of the most common mistakes that new managers make?
Well, vision has to do with the broader view of what you want your company or your organization to be. And the mission is what you do with your resources, with your facilities, to get that to happen.
Obviously, there's an awful lot of subjects in the book. You know, can you talk a little bit about what some of the others are and why those in particular might have been chosen?
Well, we start with a section on basic management. Blocking and tackling, the planning, organizing, directing, controlling of a business, those skills that managers need to do. We spend some time talking about performance management, how you go about evaluating people, setting goals for those people, making sure that they, in fact, are committed to and understand what their role is inside the organization. We have a section on building staff. It's a constant in today's environment that you're hiring people, people are moving on, people are being replaced. Picking the right people, making sure that they fit into the organization correctly is an important issue. You know, over the past few years, we've seen our project management practice at AMA grow dramatically. And I think that's because all of the conversation we've had about change and pace of change implies things outside the ordinary go on inside just about every aspect of an organization. And they tend to be called projects, projects to address this, projects to address that. It's gotten to the point where once upon a time, there were a few highly specialized people who would manage projects. It's my observation today that every manager needs to be at least familiar with the tenets of project management because they're going on in departments in his or her operation, every place that they operate. In fact, steady state environment has become more the exception rather than the rule. Projects go on a day in and day out basis in many different aspects. So we spend a good deal of time on project management. We talk about strategic thinking, how to think strategically outside the box. Somebody in your organization, and it better be you, needs to be thinking about the longer term, how you evaluate the longer term strategy for how we're going to get things done and where we're going to go, along with the day-to-day tactics of what we're going to do actually today. There's lots of ways people have talked about this over the years, but we think more people in organizations need to have a strategy, not necessarily for the entire organization, but a strategy for their particular function, their department, their organization that they need to get done. We talk about leadership. I mentioned that although I am the president of the American Management Association, it's been my observation that management is a necessary but no longer sufficient skill to be successful in the environment that we operate in. And why is that? We've pushed decision-making further and further down into organizations, partially because of efficiency purposes, partially because technology enables us to be able to do that. But I think most importantly is because decisions need to be made faster and more appropriately at a level where people have the information that actually deals with those decisions. So you can set a policy for customer service, but who are the people that you want making decisions about what the right thing to do to answer an unhappy customer's objections? Well, you need people much further down inside the organization to be able to do that. So they need to understand what the vision and the mission of the organization is. They need to be led in that direction, not necessarily managed into that direction. People say that you manage processes and lead people. And I think that's an interesting and apt observation for what goes on. And since people make all of this happen, the leadership component of what your bag of tricks are as a manager had better be well developed.
Okay, so we've been through some of the other subjects in the book here. Now, is that why the book is called the AMA Business Bootcamp?
Well, you know, bootcamp carries with it the connotation of a short, sharp, transformational period of time. And I think that's what we were intending to convey here, that this carries the basics to transform you from wherever you've come into be a, not an experienced, but a well-informed manager, and give you the basics to be able to go forward and build a career, a successful career, and practice the basics correctly.
You've used the word forward, which makes me wonder what's going to happen in the year 2013. What issues in this book might become, you know, more relevant to managers or leaders? And another question, if we could take a look at some specific functions, because AMA is a training organization, what types of changes in the coming year will be affecting chief learning officers that might be covered in the book as well?
Well, I think it will probably not come as much of a surprise to chief learning officers and chief executive officers and chief XX, whatever officers they are, that we should expect that 2013 and 2014 are going to be years of continuing stress and change. The economy is at a difficult crossroads. The surrounding circumstances in the environment that we operate in are not going to get any easier. And I think we're continually dealing with the stress of the last 4 or 5 years since this financial crisis began. I don't think it's going to go away in 2013. We may take some steps to try and improve it, but under any circumstances, we're going to be faced with a constant barrage of changing practices and operating in an uncertain environment. Uncertainty, you know, there's some brain research that shows that we are trained as human beings not to deal. We don't like to deal with uncertainty. We like certainty and safeness and surety. It goes to our earliest beginnings as human beings, the flight or fight syndrome. We like things that are comfortable, that we know how they're going to operate. And unfortunately, that's not the business world that we're inheriting at this point. So we're going to deal with a lot of stress. We need to help the people that we work with deal in that sort of environment and be successful in that environment, because it's going to be with us for a while.
So Ed, in wrapping up, is there anything else I should have asked you, but I didn't?
You probably haven't asked me who's going to win the World Series next year.
You know, despite all the stress and the constant change and the competition, there's great opportunity for success. And the principles in this book can help.
Well, you know, I think although there are incredible challenges that we face, there are also incredible opportunities that lie before us and incredible responsibilities to make use of those opportunities. I believe that our society benefits greatly from the efforts of the commercial activity in the United States. We produce goods, services, healthcare, material goods, as well as emotional goods for people in the United States. We need to make sure we get this right. And we need our organizations to be performing at a high level of productivity. And that's not going to happen unless all of the managers and all of the leaders that operate in those businesses operate at peak performance. And I'm hopeful that a number of people will read this book and pick up the skills that are necessary to help them perform at a better pace, a better rate. It'll allow the people that work with them to perform at a better rate, and that their organizations will produce better results than they might otherwise produce.
We've been speaking to Edward T. Riley. He's CEO of the American Management Association and editor of a new book entitled AMA Business Bootcamp. Thanks a lot, Ed.
Thanks.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.